Hey, this is Pastor Clayton of the Well Community Church. I want you to discover some great truth from this message. Be encouraged and challenged. Know that God is, God loves, and God has a purpose and plan for you. You were made for more. Have you ever wondered, have you asked yourself, what does God want from me? What does God want from me? You ever get to that spot, ever been to that spot in your life? Ever wondered, what is this life all about? I mean, what's the purpose? What's my purpose? Am I doing everything right? Have I got it all figured out? Or have I figured it all wrong? Right? Does it matter how I live? Is it all meaningful or is it all for nothing? Does it matter what I believe? And listen, have you ever even wondered, what do I believe? Right? Maybe you've decided, hey, I need to be more committed, more devoted, more religious. Right? You try and do all the right things, yet you still feel empty, confused, and maybe without direction and purpose. Maybe you ask yourself, is something wrong with me? No matter what I do, how hard I try, I still feel empty. And listen, let's get real. Life can be pretty complicated and confusing, can it? Life can feel like a mess, and you may be a mess. Religion is often confusing and complicated. I'll give you just a little heads up. God didn't make it complicated. Man did. We'll get there. Religion's confusing and complicated. You may not know what to believe. Well, I've got some great news for you. Jesus will never leave you empty. The only thing he left empty was an empty tomb and grave, right? But he'll never leave you and I empty. Never. Never. What'd he say? I've come that they may have life, have it more abundantly, have it to the full, filled. Jesus is about to make your life real simple tonight. I hope you want life to be simple. If you don't, I'm not sure I can help you. That's why this is from God. Jesus is going to make it real simple for you this evening. And I know it sounds too good to be true. It sounds like preacher speak. You might be saying, don't mess with me, preacher. I got a verse for you. And I don't have a verse. Jesus does. John 6, verse 29. Look at this verse. Look real close. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Can it be that simple? Yeah, it can be. But often so many people miss it and mess it up, right? God doesn't do that. Now listen, this work isn't speaking about anything we can do. It's not about what we do. That's the problem with religion, right? That's why it gets so complicated and confusing, because religion makes it complicated and confusing. Religion is all about working, doing, trying to be good, trying to be perfect. And how does that work, people? Wives, how does that work for your husbands? The Bible says this, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done. You catch that? He didn't save us because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. The Bible says no one's righteous, no, not one. No one does good, not a single one. See, religion is at odds with God's word because they're polar opposite. Religion wants you to be good and perfect, and it will exhaust you trying to be that. God's word says you can't be. Religion will wear you out trying to be. You see, religious is all about working. It's what religion's all about. Relationship with Jesus, what he really wants, is all about believing. Just receiving what he has done for us not what we can do for him, right? Because we can't ever do for him. It's actually an insult for us to even attempt to try and do anything for him. Because what are you ultimately saying? You're ultimately saying to God, what my son did for you is not enough. Ever think about it that way? The only thing God wants from you is to believe in the one he sent. Now, it's kind of interesting. Again, not your typical kind of Good Friday message. You guys know me. I'm not typical. All right? Ask my wife. No way I'm typical. All right? This passage, this verse, Jesus' words, actually comes from a passage most of you are familiar with. It comes from the feeding of the 5,000. So just kind of refresh your memory here a little bit. We'll get to a couple more verses in a second. But Jesus, he spoke to a crowd one day, large crowd. It was late in the day. None of them came prepared. They didn't know how long they were going to be there. None of them brought any food with them. They're all hungry. And the disciples, being the good, you know, the good followers of Christ that they wanted, you know, that they should be, wanted to send everybody away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. And they're like, we can't feed them. We don't have any food. And we're just like, we didn't bring anything like they didn't bring anything. And we don't have any money either. They wanted to send them away to some villages for them to buy their own food. And Jesus says, you feed them. The Bible tells us there's 5,000 of them. That's just men that's counted. So if you add in wives and children and everything else, most Bible scholars think, you know, you're talking about anything from 15,000 to 25,000 people that had to be fed. How would you like to have that many over for dinner, ladies? Where do you start, right? And then in the crowd, they find a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And that, when you, you know, this in our American culture, we kind of, you know, we can't really relate to it, because when you hear 5 loaves of bread, you're thinking, what is that boy doing with 5 loaves of bread, right? Well, that's not, it's 5 barley cakes. It's basically 5 barley tortillas, okay? He didn't have 5 loaves of hillbilly bread or whatever you guys want, right? It's, and the barley, look, it doesn't even taste good. What the barley, these barley cakes, this flatbread is what it was, and the 2 small fish, it was really a meal of someone very poor. And so whoever fixed that little lunch for that little boy, it was a poor person's sack lunch. That's what the boy had. Only smart one in the whole group other than Jesus. At least he had something right. And then it always can't be missed that, you know, he'd been there the same amount of time, I'm sure, and yet he was willing to give what he had, right? But he gets a little bit insulted because Andrew, one of the disciples, Peter's brother, looks at it and says, what is that among so many? And you know what? In a sense, without Jesus, Andrew was right. But with Jesus, Andrew couldn't be more wrong. And you know the story. Jesus took the bread and he took the fish and he broke it in pieces. He gave it to the disciples. Very important part. God uses people to reach people, to serve people. He gives it to the disciples. They distribute it to all the crowd that was sitting down. And they all, the Bible says, ate as much as they wanted. Right? And then there's an abundance left over. It ends up being 12 large baskets left over from that. A true miracle of that feeding. Well, the rest of the story goes on. After all that takes place, Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray. And as he's praying, he sends the disciples away in a boat to go across the sea to the other side. And they do that. And it gets to the wee hours of the morning, a storm comes up, and they're struggling in rowing, the Bible says. They're kind of in the middle of the lake, storm and everything, and they're panicking. And Jesus, who was praying, probably could see everything happening, knew full well what was going to happen, comes walking out on the water. They think he's a ghost. And the short end of the story, he gets in the boat, he calms the storm, calms the waves, calms the disciples, And actually, very interesting, if you read it real close, when Jesus got in the boat and calmed everything, immediately, like a speedboat, they were at the other side. When they get to the other side, there's a crowd that has gathered waiting for him and the disciples. Now, they weren't really waiting for the disciples. They were waiting for him. Okay? So we're going to pick up here. John chapter 6, verse 26 to 29. Four verses there. Jesus replied at the crowd. He's talking to the crowd. I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. We always get it wrong, people. People always get it wrong. Hey, we saw all those miraculous signs. We want to do miracles too. And that's when Jesus says, verse 29, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one whom He sent. It's the only thing that He wants. So listen, if that's the only thing God wants, and it can't be any more simple than that, what does God want us to believe about the one He sent? The Bible tells us everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. I'm just going to quiz you a little bit. We're going to have a little interactive. We're mostly all well family here, right? In order to be a child of God, what do we have to do in what I just said? Believe. Right. Makes you one of His, right? Is there anything more? Is there anything less? No. What are we to believe about Jesus? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, we come in today on Good Friday talking about, obviously, Christ going to the cross. I'm going to read you some verses from John. It's in other Gospels as well. But John chapter 19, verse 17, we'll put the verses up here. This is said of Jesus, because again, what are we supposed to believe about Jesus? Well, again, God's Word tells us. Carrying the cross by Himself, He went to the place called Place of the Skull in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed Him to the cross. Two others were crucified with Him, one on either side with Jesus between them. You remember, one of them on the cross ends up professing Him as Christ, right? Gets saved, and what's He say? Today you'll be with me in paradise? Hang here with me, group. Did He have to have communion? Did He have to have His baptism certificate? Did He have to show His church membership? Did He have to show His tithe report? No. Do you think that day that He was with Jesus in paradise? You know He was. That's right. Always keeps His word. Verse 28. Jesus knew that His mission was now finished, and to fulfill Scripture, He said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there. As they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to His lips. When Jesus had tasted it, He said, it is finished. Then He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Listen, when Jesus says it's finished, that means it's finished, right? There is no, this isn't, a parent saying, this is it, 10 times. When Jesus says it's finished, it's finished. It's finished. And what's He talking about? He's talking about the work that He came to do. It's finished. He's given His life. Verse 33, when they came to Jesus, they saw that He was already dead, so they didn't break His legs. You all know the other two thieves, their legs were broken. On the cross, as horrible as it was, and it was horrible, you died of suffocation because you would have to lift yourself to breathe as you're stretched out. And by breaking the legs, there's no way you could lift yourself, and your lungs, the muscles and the everything that was happening, you would suffocate. That's how you would die. It was a very cruel, lengthy death. hours, slow death. But they didn't break Jesus' legs, which is actually prophecy. It talks about none of his bones will be broken. If you remember in the sacrifices with the lamb, you couldn't present a lamb if it had a broken bone. That was always a picture of Christ, so that was all about prophecy. It wasn't to save him from something. Another form of agony, it was to fulfill Scripture that he was as the perfect, unblemished lamb sacrificed for you and me. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. You see, the amazing thing about it all, there's many amazing things, but Jesus' death on the cross really shows you just how confusing and complicated and messy religion can be, because the religious leaders and everybody that believed them, followed them, believed they were putting him to death for God's glory. He has blasphemed God. He has said he's of God. For God's glory, he must be killed, crucified. You see how messed up it gets? But that's people. Not God, not his word, not Jesus. Never. That's why Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." What are we to believe about Jesus? The Bible says the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 3:22. Only by believing in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The only way. There is no other way. Jesus, you know, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me." And he said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this. It says, "Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, he was raised from the dead, and on the third day, just as Scriptures said." So Jesus came, Jesus went to the cross, was crucified, took your place, took my place for our sins. Jesus died, he was buried in the tomb, dead, left for dead. And then you all know what we're going to celebrate Sunday. 3 days later, he resurrected back to life. This is what we're to believe. And that's it. I mean, listen, there's more in God's Word about living for him and because we believe how we should live out our life, right? But in the nutshell, what's the most important thing is that you believe in the one that he sent. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 3:18. "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time," once. Again, it's finished. Listen, people, salvation is a... I know we have various backgrounds and things, but salvation is it's a one-time thing. Your Savior went to the cross one time to forgive all mankind of all sin. The question is never going to be when we stand before God whether our sin's been paid for. It's all been paid for. However, what did you do with my son? Did you believe in the one I sent? "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit." Jesus defeated death in the grave. He resurrected, and Jesus promises all who believe that they will also be resurrected to everlasting life. Jesus did all the work. Jesus is asking you, me, to believe. I'll give you a couple more verses, and then we're going to go into communion. John 3:17 and 18 says this. Jesus said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Again, Jesus' words, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. Before we have communion, I'm just going to have you bow your heads real quick. Listen, I just want you to think back. Listen, have I done that very thing that Jesus asked of me? Have I believed on the one he sent? Listen, if you've done that, then you are in a relationship with him. You are saved. If you've not believed in the one he sent, if you've made it about other things, then listen, it's simple. You just need to call out to him, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and ask him to save you. It is that simple. There's nothing more to it. And there's nothing less than that. He wants you to believe. Hey, it's Pastor Clayton again. Thank you for listening to this message. You can find the Well Community Church on Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast channels as well. I look forward to connecting with you in one of our services. Remember, you were made for more.